the Doctor.
It's clobbering time.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, Issue 56. Another week has gone by, and a bunch of news has come out. Want to first thank you guys always. Like always, thank you for downloading, subscribing, finding us wherever you can find us. We are everywhere. In some places, people don't realize we're at, but we are here. So again, thank you for subscribing and, you know, for choosing us. There's a million podcasts out there and 1,000 comic book movie and geek world podcasts. Thank you for choosing us. But I cannot do this without Kane. How you doing over there, man?
Captain, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm enjoying a 3-day weekend.
Nice.
It's been nice catching up on some reads and just enjoying the weekend.
That's good. That's good. Now, you probably have the same place I was last week when I was catching up on my many of my polls that I had to go back and just rehash. And
I'm going back.
Are you going back?
I'm going back. Yeah. I caught up. I catch up on my reading pretty quick because I do the digital, so it's easier for me to catch up. I can do that during lunch breaks and things like that, waiting for the bus. But what I do on the weekends usually is I'll pull like an old read. What am I reading right now? I've been reading The Demon, the rehash. I think it was like the New 52 rehashing or retelling.
Oh, how's that?
Etrigan story. Really good. I like it. It's like, okay. It goes more back in depth. Shows him in like, I'm like the first like couple of books on it, but shows him and Vandal Savage like together in the Dark Ages. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's always been an underrated character. It's kind of strange that, you know, the TV show Legends of Tomorrow hasn't even, you know, they've introduced Vandal Savage, and kind of odd they haven't introduced Etrigan yet. You know, it's kind of, that show kind of fits him, suits him. Yeah. So especially it's just strange that he hasn't been on there yet.
Especially having Constantine on there, because there was always that little tension between them, especially in the animated universe.
Oh, yeah. You
know, between Etrigan and Constantine. Yeah. But that's what I've been catching up on. So this week, this month, actually, this is February, Black History Month. So I just wanted to do a quick like shout out. You know, if anybody's out there, don't just go to your standard ones and your standard comic books or anything. There are some tremendous black comic book artists that are out there, but primarily like also great characters that are out there. A lot of people forget about Miles Morales. I always, you know, say, you know, he's a Spider-Man knockoff, but he's still a good character. Luke Cage, Django, Misty Knight, Black Lightning, Storm, Vixen, I mean, Blade. They're out there, guys. They're out there in plethora, in numbers. So definitely check those out. Just pick one and just enjoy the ride. I think out of all of them, especially if you guys want to go, like we were just talking about, digging deep and going back into something fun, check out like the original runs of Blade. Back in the 70s, 80s. Those are some fun throwbacks, especially checking out the style and the clothes.
Oh yeah, that haircut, you know, that Blade had. He had the kid and play haircut, I think they call it, the crop top.
Yeah.
So it was always nice to go back to old comics, because I think they updated his look. He's more of the shaved head now. So
he's definitely more Wesley Snipes than what he originally was. But when you really look back at what he originally was, it was like this weird like leather and red like t-shirt underneath, and it's like his style was, I mean, he's a vampire hunter. I don't think he needs to you know dress up in a, you know, dress up for style or anything, but it was just weird. It's good.
Yeah,
they're kind of doing the mixing.
I'm glad they updated his look, and you're right. They kind of like took a lot of those ingredients in the Wesley Snipes Blade movies, and they kind of incorporated into the comic. So to kind of make it just like him, almost like when Nick Fury, who was basically designed after Samuel Jackson, they updated his look. So it's kind of like along those ways. You take a look, and then you kind of incorporate it in the comics. And then this way.
Well, it was funny though. It was funny though. The original Nick Fury is still running around in the comics. White Nick Fury's still out there.
Yeah, he is.
That's right. One of those ones that kind of throws you off, because, you know, the Black Nick Fury started off for the Ultimate, you know, Marvel Ultimate. If anybody's ever never read the Ultimates, do yourself a favor, check them out. They're fun, a little different, a little twist. You can see where the MCU kind of got some of their ideas and some of the grittiness to doing it. I think they got some from the Ultimate, and Samuel L. Jackson was definitely that direct tie-in, because, you know, of course he ends up playing Nick Fury.
Yes, he does. So did David Hasselhoff, by the way.
Yes, good movie. Awesome movie. Oh goodness, that might be one of those late night watch alongs when we're running out of ideas.
If we ever have to put that one on, that's man.
Maybe that's when I'll pull in my marker. Maybe I'll pull that one in just to make you torture.
Oh man, that's really bad.
But also, this month is we're not going to call it a memorial because we've done too many of those, but this is more of a remembrance. We've all seen them. We've all grew up on them. The Peanuts gang 20 years ago on the, I want to say it was the 15th of February. So just a few days ago, yesterday actually for us, was the last run of the Peanuts gang, because a few days before that, on February 12th, their father, Charles M. Schultz, had passed away. So it's been 20 years without Schultz in the world and without, you know, the Peanuts. I know they're out there. They're still, you know, doing reprints of the old Peanuts gang. But it's one of those ones. I know I grew up with them. My mother grew up with them. And I'm sure a lot of generation that listens to us, you know, is familiar with them.
Big time, especially those specials. I remember the Halloween special, the Christmas special. I think they still come on to this day on CBS.
Yeah, those are the traditions. I don't think that'll go away for TV. I think those will always be there, especially for our generation. And then maybe after our generation passes away, they'll vanish. But for right now, no, they're sticking around.
Yeah, those are a staple. They have to stay. I'm glad they are. It always keeps the Charles Schultz and the Peanuts in the lexicon of everybody. Still out there. So it's good.
And if anybody's interested, they're out there to buy. You can actually buy those DVDs. I've actually been contemplating doing that just so I always have that to watch, because there are some of those, sometimes those air and I don't catch them and I feel like my holiday's off because I miss them. So I was like, you know, I think I might buy them, buy, you know, Frosty, buy Rudolph, just the fun ones.
Just get the classics. Yeah. Stick with those.
So it's been 20 years for that, for Charles Schultz. I got to see him one time when I lived in LA a long time ago, and he was getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And one of my teachers, I was going to music school out there at the time, and one of my teachers, he's a jazz instructor, Mr. Schrodinger, he was telling us that he knew Charles and that he was the bassist for Schrodinger, the piano player.
No.
And we're like, yeah, whatever. You're full of it. Whatever. And one day they're doing Charles M. Schultz, and here he is, our teacher, up there standing right next to him with getting the star.
Oh, wow.
So I was one of my teachers back in the day was Schroeder. Schrodinger or Schroeder? I forget.
Yeah, Schroeder. I think it's Schroeder.
Yeah. And just as how nasty he was to Lucy and everything, he was the same way to most women. He was an extremely sexist gentleman.
Yeah, just focused on playing that piano. That's all he pretty much was.
But that was one of those fun ones. So what we're going to do, we're going to jump into our admissions ward for you guys that are maybe new or not sure what we're talking about. Admissions ward is our weekly news breakdown, anything that's been coming down the pike, rumors, speculations, new images, anything that catches our interest, and anything that falls in our genre. So here we go.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, Kane, I'm going to let you go ahead and start off with this one because I think you got some big ones for us.
Yeah, I think I'll start off with the elephant in the room, so to speak. We got our first look this week in I believe it was a 20-second teaser of a screen test that Matt Reeves had done with Robert Pattinson in the new bat suit. In this video, it's like red and very dark. It's tough to see, but eventually you do see Robert Pattinson in the bat suit. You do get to hear the Michael Giacchino theme, which he's going to use for the Batman for Matt Reeves. And I guess so far all the comments have been pretty positive. The suit definitely looks different than the other incarnations that we've seen on screen, especially the bat logo in the middle, which people have theorized could be created by the gun that killed Bruce Wayne's parents. And it was molded into the bat symbol itself that he puts on his suit, which I believe was the New 52 run. I'm not sure. It might have been Rebirth. And I'm not sure where that story came from. But the suit itself looks very, if you ever played the Arkham games, and I know you have, very Arkham style. Arkham City, I guess Arkham Origins more like it, but the cowl looks about the same, has a collar, which is a little bit different. But all in all, it looked really good, and he definitely has the chin for the Batman. So So far, so good. What do you think?
It was okay. I'm still in that mindset. And I know it's sort of in our thing that we do. We talk about the news that drops and things like that, but there's time, and there's certain times and certain things that should be released to the public. And that's just, this just wasn't one of them. It was a screen test. This is something you put in the DVD box set, you know, later on, you know, special features and things like that. Cause I didn't like it. It kind of turned me off of the whole situation. The look, the style, I wasn't a fan of it. It was too dark, like too black on black. Somebody took it and took that red tone out of it and made it more gray. I don't know if you saw that one or not.
Yeah, I saw that one. It actually makes it a little more clear.
Yeah, gives it a lot more clarity too. And I just wasn't a fan. I understand it's a complete test. That's probably not even the real suit that we're going to see. They're probably testing to see how he looks, the angles, certain things, probably ideas on the suit that we're going to see, like the bat emblem. That's probably going to be something we're going to see. The collar thing, and probably something they're testing. So like I said, it's just all screen testing for me right now. And I don't like to see too much. I don't want to know how my donuts are made. Just give me the freaking donut. All right. And this is one of those times I think they should have just left well enough alone.
Well, to me, it just illustrates that they are actually filming this movie now.
It's
in production. That's one of the big things.
All they have to tell me is they're filming it. We already know.
I know, but you know,
why do we need more? That's just, to me, that's a silly comment.
It just gets people to get them excited.
We're already excited. And this turned me down. No, that's the problem. You show too much of the behind the scenes stuff, you can turn people off. And that's where you got to be careful with that. And this one, especially the Batman suit, you can kind of turn some people off if you're not treating it right. And with him being in this casting role, still there's a big bulk of people out there that just aren't still sold on him. And I just think less for him being his first run as Batman, I think less is more, because it's going to leave people's, you know, thoughts and their imagination. And I just, again, just too much to be seen is my only thing. And I'm sure that's not exactly what we're going to get.
No, probably not. I mean, this is going to be the first of many. I hate to tell you that, though. It's going to be this, and we'll probably end up seeing the Batmobile pretty soon. Probably some
Yeah, I know. That's today. It's one of those things. I was always cool with like a couple of like, hey, we're filming. Check out the thing behind us. Hey, we're filming down this road, or we're filming in this studio today, or let me show you a little bit of, you know, the Batcave. But don't show me too much of the Batman, because that takes away the excitement when you do finally see him. Mm. You know, that's all. That's just me. I like to be teased. I don't want to see how the donuts are made. Just make the donuts. I'll buy the donut. I'm going to buy that donut. All right. Everybody out there is going to buy that donut. Every single one of us comic book fans out there, that's who they're releasing this stuff for. We're already going to go buy it. So don't tease too much of it. It's just going to ruin it. Yeah, that's just my opinion, though.
Well, I dug it. I thought it was kind of cool.
You're who they were going to send it to. You're going to be like, oh yeah, goody.
I was all over it. I was texting my friend Reggie, and he's a big Batman freak as well. And the first thing he said was, "Oh, Arkham Origins." That's what it looks like. It looks like they're basing it off the games, which is
definitely
one of the things I love. So if they're going to go in that direction, you know, sign me up.
Well, they need to, because if they're going to take anything from Backafleck, if we want to call it that, was a Arkham take. And if that's, you know, if they're going to take anything from that, that's what they need to take. Take that grit and that feel of Batman from Arkham, which is what they had, and which made Batafleck great, but turn it to this one. Like I said, it's just too much. I just don't want to see too much. Just, I'm going to go see it. You're going to go see it no matter what. That's something I've always talked about. You know, you even agreed with me. You're like, no, I don't want to know how everything's made either, but this moment, I understand on this moment, you are a bat geek. You're going to freak out. Even if it was Superman, to me, if they're going to start doing a new Superman, I don't want to see too much. I want to be surprised. I miss that magic of going to the movies, you know. And
But sadly, we're not going to get that nowadays.
Yeah, we can. We can ignore it. I saw someone, I'm like, do I want to see it? I'll look at it. Okay,
it'll be pretty hard to ignore. But
oh no, you can do it. Trust me, you can control social media. Don't let it control you.
So that was the first look, and I believe the movie comes out next July 2021. So look out for Matt Reeves' The Batman. Yeah. Captain.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we're going to stay sort of in the Bat universe. A little backlash we've been getting on the BOP, the Birds of Prey, or Ooh. As Warner Brothers has recently changed the title, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. You and I finally got a chance to see it.
Yes, we did.
So, I mean, what did you think?
I like the characters. I didn't like the story. I like some of the characters. Let me rephrase that. I thought Renee Montoya was terrible. I thought Cassandra Cain and Victor Zsasz were horribly misused. But everybody else was spot on. I like the version of Roman Sionis we got. Harley Quinn is always, Margot Robbie, as I've said before, she was born to play that role. I even like the Black Canary take. That was surprising to me. And, I like the way they filmed Gotham. I think I talked to you about it before. Yes, they have done it before in the past in other movies, but I kind of like this grittier version of Gotham because, I grew up in the city and, seeing those bodegas in the corners and all that kind of reminded me of that when I was growing up. So I dug that. But as a whole, the movie wasn't great. It was marketed poorly. There's a lot of places they can go from there. The Huntress was okay, but I felt she didn't have enough to do.
Yeah.
To me, if you could just call this movie Harley Quinn, that's it. It would have been fine. But calling it Birds of Prey, kind of misleading.
Well, exactly. I mean, from a comic book fan standpoint, the Birds of Prey and the whatever it was, something of I can never get the right title on it. But it was false advertising, especially from a comic book fan's point of view. And I had this talk with my boss this week. Her and her husband went to saw it. She loved it. She's not a comic book fan. He even loved it. And he's a minor comic book fan. He enjoyed just like you were saying, he enjoyed a Black Mask. He enjoyed some of the characters there. She loved Zsasz, but she doesn't know Zsasz. Like I know Zsasz or you know Zsasz or the rest of us know him. But yeah, that selling it of Birds of Prey and Harley, those two entities never worked together. Those were never, I think somebody posted it. It should have been called like the Gotham Sirens or something.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense.
Would have made a lot more sense. Yeah, the Birds of Prey and Harley Quinn, that's not two flavors you want together. And it showed in that. And that's why I think the bad writing was there. And I'm on the same boat. I love what they did with Black Mask. You and I were so scared. We're like, no, don't do it. Don't ruin it. Because what we saw in the trailer was not Black Mask. And he wasn't there at the beginning either. He didn't get to Black Mask until like part of the way through the movie. I think just at the beginning of the third act. There's one scene in there, guys, spoiler alerts here. We're probably gonna drop a couple. There's a scene where it looks like some girl's laughing at him and he goes after her and, makes her dance on the table. That's Roman.
That's Roman. Yeah.
That is straight up right. The second that happened. And I was like, okay, there he is. Okay. They captured that part because again, that's what I was worried about, that they were going to lose the psycho part of Roman, that thing that's in the back of his head that makes him Roman. But they didn't. They captured it. Zsasz, I thought, was just, like you said, just completely misused. This is one of the gruesome, deviants of the rogues gallery for Batman. This man has scars all over his body for everybody he's ever killed. He's nobody's henchman. He may have been a henchman for somebody at some point in a comic run. I don't remember. But to me, he's always been, he's not on level with Joker or Penguin or the Riddler, but he is part of the echelon of the rogues gallery for Batman. Cassandra Cain, same thing. I think a waste of a character. She was not this quiet, timid thief that she was portrayed. And Renee, I thought was okay. I thought Rosie Perez did a pretty good job on her, but there were certain things that the edge of Montoya wasn't there. There was a little attitude, but no, she don't put up with anything. She's one of the boys. She wouldn't put up with being talked down to like that. I think the shirt that she had to wear when her clothes got it, she got That's all.
I want that
was
shirt,
straight. That was straight up. That was Montoya. All right, but the rest of the character just wasn't there. Like you were saying, Huntress, I thought we didn't get anything of the Huntress until the third act. It was just kind of like you had to know who the Bertinellis were to know what was going on to begin with. We did. But I'll use my boss as an example because she's really the only one I've really sat down and talked to this about. And, she enjoyed it, but she didn't understand the whole point of it. So, but I got to tell you, the Birds of Prey and the backlash that it has gotten through social media, I wish it would stop. This is a combination. I think that these poor sales that this thing had, and it's not poor sales. It's people are saying it's worse than anything they've ever seen. It's not. There's worse ones. People were expecting more from it. I wasn't. You and I both really weren't, because of how it was marketed. They marketed it for a certain group, a certain fan base. And that's fine, because that fan base is out there. That fan base should have their movies. I completely get it. That's why I was cool with the movie of where they were going. But then what happened is the social media, the Phantom Menace group, they're all the same. They're not – Phantom Menace isn't just Star Wars. It's just they attack anything to do in the geek community. And they just attacked because it wasn't what they thought that it should have been. So, again, you have poor marketing, the Phantom Menace going after it, and that I think that just attacked the sales, because once you actually saw the movie, it had none of those feelings that the marketing presented. And I think if Warner Brothers would have done it, and whoever's in charge of Warner Brothers marketing right now, it should get fired.
Oof, yeah.
Sorry, you get your pink slip, you're gone. You screwed up the marketing coming out of the gate. You let your actors promote it as a certain type of movie. And then, of course, you know, the internet's going to go crazy. And then, of course, everybody else listens to everything that these guys say on there. And they think that, you know, they have some behind the scenes thing, guys. And we're going to tell you right up now, we don't have anything behind the scenes. We're telling you our opinion. We're talking about the news. That's all we're really talking about. We don't have anything. But there's those YouTube followers that are out there. And I'm not going to name any of the names or anything like that, but there are a certain group of YouTube producers and product people out there that they put out this, and it's a constant bit of poison, and their fan base has taken that little blue pill and they have swallowed it, and they just put their little heads in the sand and believe everything they say. But yet at the same time, these are the same group of people that says, don't listen to those movie reviewers. They don't know what they're talking about. But yet you're doing the same thing and expecting people to, you know, go ahead with you. And it's just, I honestly believe that this is poison to our community. We're all comic book fans. There's comic books out there that I don't want to pick up and I don't read, and that's fine. Kane picks up books I don't want to read. I'm sure I pick up some books Kane doesn't want to read, but we support each other. That yes, support the art form and support the community, and that goes and that translates over to the movies. Support the, because if people stop supporting our type of movies, the big dogs, the big cigar smoking Warner Brothers people and Universal and Disney, if they start seeing us lashing out against these products, even though they're not our style of products, they're going to stop making those kinds of products. And then guess what? We're going to be out. So I just think everybody just needs to support everything that comes out for our type of, you know, in our community. Even if you don't like it, you don't like it, but just say, hey, good job. That got made. That movie would have never been made 20 years ago or 30 years ago, or, you know, so I just think a lot of people are just like spoiled by the fact that these movies are so prevalent right now. And now I get off my soapbox. I'm sorry. I had to get that off my chest, dude.
You good? I'm good. I was going to get you a glass of water.
Oh, I got a glass of water here. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just been watching this, and I've just been getting so angry and just over the poison that these guys are just spewing out. And
well,
they expect everybody to listen to them, just like, and then go, oh, well, the movie reviewers don't know what they're talking about. Well, you're just like the movie reviewers. You just don't work for a big newspaper.
No, and it's easy to complain behind a computer screen and nobody can see your face. That's the easiest thing. That's why they have such, you know, a following that they do. And people who follow them are actually the sheep, because you got to, like you've been saying so eloquently, you got to make your own opinions, whether you like it or don't like it. And make sure you see it, because sometimes people don't even see it and they judge it. Like, that movie sucks.
Most of these guys had never seen it. They had only seen the trailer, and they're like, oh my God, it's going to be this is the rumors that we hear. And I heard all the rumors. I don't want to be petty, and I don't want to sit down and write down every one of these rumors and then double check to make sure they're right. But pretty much most of them are wrong. And some of them out there still go and use one of the worst source locators news from this one site. And they still quote these people. And I'm like, as soon as they see, oh, we got this from here, I'm like, click, you're gone. Don't want to see you anymore.
I don't ever want to. I don't even want to know about that site. I don't even want to get mention their name. That's how angry I am at that site. You know, for years, I drank the Kool-Aid on them. I did. I was like, oh, because some of the things, you know, they were kind of like, you know, feeding to my appetite. Like, oh, they're going to do this. Oh, they're going to do that. And then after a while, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you took the blue pill. It's okay.
I took the blue pill and I was like, well, this is not happening. This is not happening. And any other stories that they have actually reported on, I would have to venture to say like 100% of them, none of them come true. Like not even close. Yeah. Like they are so way off base. It's not even funny. I mean, at least like some websites will, when they record like the news, they'll have some shred of truth in them, but them, they have nothing. It's just like, they're going on the dartboard. Like, hey, let's just, you know, that's going to happen. You know, Wesley Snipes is going to be the Reverse Flash. Like, oh, really? Okay. And like, it just, it makes me angry talking about them.
But so far right now, Harley has broken worldwide 145 million. So not doing too bad for the second weekend. All right. No, I mean, when you look at the numbers,
probably break even.
It's already made its budget back. Also, really, all it's worried about now is whatever like promotional stuff they had to deal with. They said that it would at least make a little bit more money and break about even. It'd have to be 250. It's only a million away from that, and that's only in it's only in its second week. So yeah, really, it's gonna be fine. It's not the stinker everybody's screaming it was. And of course, everybody's screaming that, you know, look at what Sonic did. Look at what Sonic did. You know, they listened to their fan base. Look what they did. Yes, they did. Yeah, but again, I believe Harley's fan base was something different. It wasn't us. It was a different comic book reader. And I think those people, that group and those fans got what they wanted. Sonic, I'm not looking for Sonic. I never wanted a Sonic movie. Don't care about it. I played the game when I was younger, when I was a kid, had fun, but I didn't want a movie. I never want video game movies. Now this one is holding strong at, 68 million right now. So it has had the best opening weekend for a video game movie. So I'll give it that. Has a long way to go still to make number one video game movie. I think that's held by Warcraft and Lore and Tomb Raider, first Tomb Raider. So, and I think if you take the change in money and stuff, you know, they're around 200 mil.
I think so.
So I mean, it still has a ways to go. I think the excitement's gonna, you know, kind of die down. It is at like 111 million right now. So I mean, it's good opening weekend, you know. But again, look what it was against. You had Harley for the second week. I think was Fantasy Island out this weekend, or is that next weekend?
I think it's next weekend.
Okay, it's been popping up a lot more on my news feeds. So I'm like, is it out yet? I haven't gotten a chance to go see it.
No, not yet.
But you know, again, those are the ones those group of people on YouTube and their news and everything. They're comparing these to Sonic and Hedgehog and Harley, and those are two separate types of movies, two different genres of movies. If this was a comic book movie against a comic book movie, yeah, I'd say so. But so that is it, guys. I had to let that one go. It's been brewing for a couple of weeks, and it finally had to. Let loose.
Here at the Heroes of Silent, we like to let the captain blow off a little steam every now and then, because you know some of the inmates do get him rattled, but that's what we do.
All right, so what do you have next,
sir? Guess what? Lucifer this season will air its fifth and final season on Netflix. It'll be split into two parts, 8 episodes each. Or will it be the last season? Really? According to Netflix officials, they are in talks to maybe keeping the series alive after the fifth season. I would venture to say that after the reception they had for the fourth season, which was very positive, and if they get the same results for the fifth season, I think I want to go on a limb and say that it can come back. But it's up to the creators of Lucifer if they want to actually come back after the fifth season.
Yeah,
very interesting. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever watched the show. I think you have. And I've always said, Tom Ellis, who's a Doctor Who alum, by the way. He was in an episode in season number 10, I believe, with the 10th Doctor. That's right. I always got to throw that in there. He was one of the refugees on the planet when the Master was taken over. But Tom makes that show, pretty much. Like, if any guy who carries a show on his shoulders, it is Tom Ellis. And if it does come back for a sixth season, where can they go? Maybe they can incorporate Constantine, which, you know, the world has been begging for ever since that crossover in Crisis, which is one of the best scenes ever. I mean, that's basically a series waiting to happen. You know, it's right in front of your face, Warner Brothers. Constantine and Lucifer, it's right there.
know what's really right in front of their face is Lucifer and Sandman.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
That's more in their face. I think also what's probably causing them to pause was that reaction that everybody had and the fan love that was given to them during the crossover for the WB. I think that made Netflix take pause for a second, go, hey, wait a second. Wow, that this had such a reaction and the CW has nothing to do with our show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it didn't even air on the CW, right? Lucifer originally was airing on a different network.
Fox. It was Fox.
Fox. So yeah, it had nothing to do. They didn't even, other than the simple fact that they were DC properties. And really, when you boil it down, it was Vertigo, really, is who that belonged to. Yeah, that and I guess there's a social media campaign going on right now. The hashtag Save Lucifer is going on right now as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, those things work because the show was saved and when Netflix bought it. So don't crap on those polls. They actually do.
I was going to say, if anybody's in, if you really, really want this to keep it going, get up and sign on that.
Yeah, I'm going to sign. I definitely would like to see more Lucifer, especially if they do happen to, you know, curve into that Vertigo route going to the more darker area with the Sandman. I don't know how they would incorporate the Sandman in there. I mean, it's easy to, there is a way to do it. Yes. But, you know, the tone of the Lucifer show is not, you know, the Sandman tone, you know, of the comic.
But the show, the theme or the tone of the show isn't Lucifer either.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
so
I'm just,
you have to realize they're going to change Sandman to fit television. So there may just be some grittier episodes of Lucifer, a little darker in tone, that will help introduce the character of Sandman. And I know they're doing some some rumors were coming around about them doing some casting for Sandman. And basically acting out from what I read was that they were acting out scenes straight from the graphic novel of Sandman, the first run.
Ooh,
that gets I don't know if they were just doing that to test these people to say, hey, we want to hear you do what is said on the book. I don't know if that's, you know, what they're going to do or if they're going to turn it around or not, you know, and take straight from it. Cause they were saying some of the stuff that they were reading was from like the 10th issue of Sandman, not like the first one.
Yeah. Cause, I think well, that'd be a good idea. I'm reading currently like, is it the Black Label version of Lucifer that I'm reading now? I forgot which version I'm reading, but,
you are on the
Black. Yeah. So I've been reading that for almost two years now, or a year. It's been a while.
I think it's when that run started. Cause I was going, okay, I want to get into it.
As I've told you, some of the story doesn't make sense, but the tone of it is very dark.
Yeah.
Very, very dark. I mean, there's beheadings, there's heads ripping off, there's hearts being eaten. So I don't know if I see this Lucifer going that direction. However, like you said before, they can incorporate some things to fit it into that universe and to fit Dreamer in there and the entire world of Sandman. And you can fit Constantine, and Constantine slides right in there. Yeah, Constantine is like one of those, he's like a special sauce that you can put pretty much in anything. Yep. He just slides right in perfectly in any world.
Pop him in and out of anything, and he's there.
He'll fit perfect. He could be the new Psycho Pirate. He could be basically in every DC show.
Right there with goddamn fucking Doctor Who, it's Psycho Pirate.
I haven't used Psycho Pirate in a while, though.
It's been a couple of years.
It's been a while.
I'm going to get you a t-shirt, a Psycho Pirate, the Doctor Who of DC.
Yeah, I'm just saying they could use John as that. You know, he can be in almost every DC show and he would fit in perfectly.
Yeah. If anybody is that interested, if nobody's ever read Lucifer, check out the Lucifer Omnibus Volume 1. It's probably the best one. I think it breaks down like 6 to 8 issues, I think, in that omnibus.
I believe it's,
it's a really good intro into Lucifer in that world. Again, don't expect to go seeing him, you know, lounging around, you know, and sipping, you know, bourbon or anything. It's Lucifer. It's going to be dark. It is still, I think it was that omnibus was the last run on Vertigo. So yeah, it's going to be a little darker.
But it'd be interesting to see if they do take that tone and if it comes back for a season 6. So I'd be fascinated. Hopefully it does get picked up.
I hope they do, because I think it's always good to see a show like that continue and show that there's still interest out there for it. And because that isn't a major book, you know, when people sit down and talk about great comic books, Lucifer's not in the top 10. It's a great you know, story, and it's great to see that something that's, you know, a little off color, just like Preacher, you know, when you look at Preacher or American Gods, you know, those are not, you know, your top of the line. Yeah, yes, they're written by some great, great artists, but you know, when people sit down and actually talk about certain books, those aren't big ones that they talk about, but they're out there. You know, and that's also, I love to see that. Again, I may not agree with them, but I want to see continued success for our community and our product that comes out of this community, because that means it's always going to be there. We're always going to have something.
That's why you got to support it. That's the big thing. Got to support it, whether you like it or not. I mean, you're always going to have your opinions on everything, but support it. Just say, hey, you know what? I didn't like this, but you know, I appreciate what they were trying to do. And I think, you know, hopefully Lucifer will come back for season 6. You never know. Yeah, Captain, what do you got next?
I have already gone off on my tangent about Harley Quinn, but a good Harley Quinn thing out there. If anybody has a DC streaming service, please do yourself a favor and get it. If you're not going to get it now, wait. I think we have another month and a half, 2 months, I think, till HBO Max comes out. And I know HBO Max is going to have a lot of the DC stuff on it as well. But the Harley Quinn animated series is by gold. Far
gold.
It's gold. It's, yeah, it's, I mean, it's Harley Quinn at, like, we know Harley Quinn. Like Kane said, it, Margot's doing a great job. She was born for the role, but that's not Harley Quinn to me. Harley Quinn is foul mouth, rude, just obnoxious to the umpteen, you know, level. And that's what this is. Kelly Coco from Big Bang Theory is on here. She just drew a blank on the name of the gentleman that does Joker.
Oh, it's Alan Tudyk, right?
Yeah, Tudyk. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so Alan Tudyk's on here. It's just a great fun, and it brings in some amazing characters, because you have you capture the one thing that's always been with Harley. When she's not hanging out with the Joker, she's hanging out with Poison Ivy, and that relationship is beautiful. To me, that should have been in the movie. The relationship of Harley and Ivy, that should have been a movie.
Yeah, you could have gotten rid of Cassandra Cain and put
could have gotten rid of all of them and just had a Renee trying to track them down, but had Poison Ivy in Harley Quinn help Poison Ivy get, helping her get over you know, her breakup with Joker. That would have been perfect. That is gold right there, because Poison Ivy doesn't care. She doesn't care. She doesn't like anybody. But for some reason, Harley has found a way to get into her heart. And this story is kind of that. It's Harley. It's basically the same concept that they had for the movie of her getting over the breakup with Joker and her trying to find her own place in the world. And it follows her, Poison Ivy, who else? King Shark, Dr. Psycho, Clayface, an amazing version of Clayface.
Loved. Oh, he's
and just her journeys to become part of the Legion of Doom and having to still deal with, hey, I'm still here and there's my ex over there on the other side of the room, having to deal with the ex still being around. And it's great. The language is so colorful and refreshing. Batman, I don't know how you feel about Batman, but I love Batman in this.
I love him. He's so straight edged.
Yeah, I mean, he is the straight man that we've always felt he should be. There's no joke to him. This is how it is. And you know, so there are some great references to some old comic books and some old television shows and movies. You know, so anybody that's afraid to get into something new, that's like, well, I like the old stuff. No, there's a lot of great stuff in here. Like I love the fact that the Legion of Doom is in a park that looks identical to the Hall of Justice. It's got a fountain out front and everything.
Yeah, it's great. yeah. The way they portray the Legion as like they're almost like money hungry.
Oh yeah,
you know, they're is fantastic. They have Bane. I love Bane.
Yeah,
Bane. They have basically he's the Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. And has that voice, kills me. And as you said before, Clayface I think is like the best version I've ever seen in my life, because he's an actor and he's very thespian like in this show. He's an
actor.
Yes, he's. And that voice, I don't know who voices Clayface, but he's like the best part of the show for me. He's always, should I do this or that? Very yeah. theatrical.
But, son. And then the old man that joins them, who Herb or something like that, who used to be an old spy or something like that. And he has a special ability that we're not aware of. And it looked fucking painful. But yeah, no, if you guys check it out, it's fun. If you, anybody was turned off by Harley Quinn, the movie, check this out. This is something that's, I just think it's fun. But they've got this coming Friday. It's the last episode of this season. It kind of ended on a cliffhanger. Apparently, Poison Ivy has died. The Joker has won, and Harley's having to team up with Batman. And to me, some of the best Batman team ups lately have been with Harley Quinn. If anybody's, again, I always go back to this because I think it's one of the better books that's come out in a while for Batman that I like, was the in the Black Label, the Curse of the White Knight. Great book, and it has a pregnant Harley and Batman joining up together, and they know who each other is. You know, she knows who he is, and she knows he's Bruce, and it's just this relationship that they have, that they're both want to go after the Joker, and she realizes that she's never been Joker's true love. Batman's always been Joker's true love. That's who he's only cared about through everything, was Batman. Mm-hmm. And and she's realized that she's always just been kind of tossed to the side. But if you guys want to get into it, make sure you do check out, it's a Harley Quinn Rebirth. There's a deluxe collector's edition out there, volume one. Gives you all the stuff you're going to want to, you know, check out, especially from the DC comic book world for Harley. We're all seeing the live action and the animated one, but if you guys want to go to the source material, Harley Quinn, the Rebirth deluxe collection, and that'll set you guys on the right path. Check out your local, you know, brick and mortar comic book store for that, or Comicology.
Very nice.
So what do you
guess? I guess we'll segue from that comic to another comic. We're just getting a sequel. I know Captain has opinions about this. Dark Knights of Metal, which was one of my favorite comic runs. The story was a little wonky, but the characters I thought were pretty good. We got one of the best villains out of that with Batman Who Laughs. They have announced a sequel, which will be coming out in May, and it's called Dark Knights Death Metal. They released some of the concept art this past week, and it shows like a long-haired Superman who looks like Glenn Danzig, a Grim Reaper type Batman, and a Xena Warrior Princess type Wonder Woman looks like.
Are we not going to talk about Superman having the Hellboy arm? Are we not going to talk about that? That big rock arm on the right side? He's been doing too much self-help in the fortress.
I was going to leave that to you, sir.
The artwork on it just kind of threw me off. It was just kind of odd. But again, I'm so far behind on the metal stuff. I'm just one of those ones. That's a long weekend of just waiting for everything to come out, pick up a graphic novel, just bury myself in it. I've already gotten the first metal. It's just the rest of this stuff is my thing. And you and I've already talked about it, but I just feel left out. My love, the love of my life that I grew up with has kind of left me out in the cold. It has made me go find a new mistress. In Marvel's arms, and I'm just upset. You know, I just don't feel like I'm part of that world anymore. So
it's very sad. Well, it is sad. Hopefully they can get you on board with Death Metal. Details as of yet of the story, but I'm pretty sure if you can put two and two together, this is going to take place after the Infected storyline, which is headlining right now in DC. So I think that's going to take place after that. I think it's going to have something to do with Perpetua, multiverses. Definitely the Batman Who Laughs is going to be involved, so I think that's what's going to happen. I'm not sure how, or maybe Barbatos will come back, maybe not, but that's coming out in May, so look for that in your local comic book stores or Comixology. Captain?
My last one, actually, is something actually I was not a part of. I was left out on this one because I think it was more of a choice. I didn't catch it at first. I don't know if maybe just the mood I was in, place I was at or whatever. Stranger Things season 4 trailer has just dropped, and I was not a Stranger Things fan. I have recently, and I don't want to say I'm not a fan. I just wasn't exposed to it and embraced it. I watched part of the first season because I started rewatching the first season. I'm like, okay, I've seen this. But now they've, releasing the fourth season. So I'm going to catch up myself. I'm close to it. But it looks as though this one is kind of how the first season was very Poltergeist in like source material. When you really sit down and, break down and you look at the overall arcing story, the fourth season will be really based off and taking a lot of suggestions from one of your favorite movies, John Carpenter's The Classic The Thing.
Finally.
Yeah. I mean, it was going to get around, you know, because they have to touch on all the 80s tropes. And like I said, the first season was, you know, definitely Poltergeist. If nobody's seen it, you know, and hasn't caught it, it's straight up Poltergeist. Yeah, I was waiting for the short little lady, Carol Ann. Yeah, I know. I was waiting for her to pop in. Just, I know the actress has been passed away for a long time, but just somebody to do something similar. But, yeah, I'm still working my way through second season, and I'll be on third season here in a week. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm enjoying the ride so far. Like I said, I think when it first rolled out, I don't know if maybe it was around the time of my heart attack, and I just was just not into anything. I gave up a lot of my loves and the things I like to do afterwards, and I just was in a weird place. But coming back around, checking things out a second go around, so, and I'm liking it, and I'm digging it so far.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has that Johnny Carpenter vibe. I like the trailer, I guess, shows Hopper's alive, so everybody can stop freaking out. He's alive. Somehow, I guess we're going to find out how. And I think this is the final season, if I'm not mistaken. Because those kids are no longer kids anymore, if you noticed them. They're a little long in the tooth now. Some of them are 16, 17, so they're no longer the lovable little kids, and they're going to want more money. So I believe this is the last season, and I believe it's going to air. Usually they air in July. But yeah.
Well, if the trailer just dropped, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, they're probably the beginning of summer will probably be the best time. I'm looking at my news here, and I don't see dates. Just saying that it was a promo for the up and coming season. So, and I haven't seen anything on Netflix to advertise coming up.
Should be interesting. That's sure. Coming out in July. I guess we'll segue to that to another Netflix series, which finally announced their voice cast. Kevin Smith, who is doing the Masters of the Universe, I guess we can call it reboot. It's going to be airing on Netflix sometime next year. Has announced that he finally has a voice cast, and I have the voice cast right here, and literally it's a who's who and some actors that you may or may not recognize. Skeletor will be played by Mark Hamill.
Nice.
Chris Wood.
As long as he doesn't slide into Joker. That's always been our, I think you and I have talked about him doing voices on something else. We're always worried that, you know, when he goes into, especially in a Skeletor style voice, that's not that far from kind of the Joker.
Yeah, we'll find out. Chris Wood, he has been cast. Chris Wood was on Supergirl, played Mon-El. He's been cast as He-Man / Prince Adam. Lena Headey is going to be Evelyn. Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to be Tila. Stephen Root will play Barry. I don't know who Barry is. He's playing Cringer. He's playing Cringer. You know Barry.
Well, no, Stephen Root, and he's from Barry, but Stephen Root's been a lot of other things as well.
Okay, yeah. I was like, Barry? I'm like, what, Barry?
You don't remember Barry from He-Man? Come on.
He
was the one that carried around the sword for him.
Hey, Barry, hold my sword real quick. Okay, man. Liam Cunningham from Game of Thrones is playing Man-at-Arms. And the other intriguing class includes Henry Rollins is going to play Triclops.
Very good. Yeah.
Candyman star Tony Todd as Scareglow. I forgot who Scareglow was. But if you're going to have Tony Todd, and you know, he's one of the best voices in the entire world. So good. And that's the main voice cast. There's some other ones that we didn't know of, but that's like the meat and potatoes of the He-Man voice cast. And that should be coming out sometime next year. And if you haven't read the premise of the series, it's going to take place supposedly after the original OG series in the 80s. Well, basically, they are looking for the Power Sword, which has apparently been missing. So that's the premise that I've read so far. So it should be interesting.
Silly Prince Adam losing the Power Sword like that.
How did he lose the Power Sword? What, did he give it to his friend Barry, and Barry stole it?
Well, you skipped over a couple of interesting additions. Alicia Silverstone, she will be playing Queen Marlena. Justin Long from Accepted and God knows everything else. He'll be playing Roboto. Roboto was one of the robot guys, obviously in the name. Jason Mewes, of course, you know, with Kevin Smith, he'll be playing Stinkor. Jeez. And then, of course, the man who can never, ever not be in some animated thing, Phil Lamar, he from Justice League fame, he'll be playing Hero. So there's quite a few. Kevin Michael Richardson's another alum from, you know, everything, will be playing Beastman. And then one more, and actually two more, actually. And I can't believe you missed this one.
I know.
Merman. Kevin Conroy will be playing Merman. So get forward to hearing that. And then last but not least, Harley Quinn Smith. Kevin James, and I know he hates that. Kevin Smith's daughter.
Kevin James.
Will be Alina. And Alina, I'm trying to remember who Alina was.
There's a lot of these characters I've never heard of, like Hero.
Oh, Hero Glow. I've heard of. Yeah, a couple of these I have heard of. But it's just like some of them I haven't. So it's kind of, you know, Beastman, Merman. I vaguely remember the Glow one, Scareglow. Stinkor, I remember. Roboto, I remember hearing the name, but I don't remember what he looks like. But yeah, Susan Eisenberg, holy crap, Wonder Woman, she'll be playing Sorceress. So yeah, tons of people on here. So it's Kevin Smith. You know, he called in some markers. You know, he probably told the story that he had a heart attack, and you know, he needs people to come in.
he definitely got him. So
this is a Kevin Smith essence, you know, ever since the heart attack, and I'm loving every second of it. To see him coming back, Hollywood embracing him again, because he kind of was relegated to the podcast community, and I mean, which is great. I mean, we're here, we love him to death. He really put podcasting really out on the forefront in our community. So, but then it's like people forgot about him, and you know, because he started making movies he wanted to make. Yoga Hosers and Tusk, and just like movies, and people always pick on him about it, but yet, you know, he had that heart attack and people are like, wait a second, this is a gem. We need to, you know, bring him up back into the Hollywood fold.
And he's definitely done that, you know, especially now, like you said, the Kevin Smithessence. So he's back in that lexicon. I did enjoy Jane Silent Bob reboot. That was pretty good.
Oh, dude, yeah, that was great.
I haven't
laughed and cried so much in a movie in a while. My cheeks were hurting.
Oh, yeah. Especially that Ben Affleck scene. That was really a tear.
I forgot he was in there, but yeah, it's crazy how much was for this movie cast. He's pulling in a lot of people from the Game of Thrones. I know Game of Thrones is over now, but yeah, a bunch of Game of Thrones. Supernatural is got an actress from Supernatural going to be on here. So yeah, it's pretty good, and I'm glad he's got some good, solid, true voice actors, Phil LaMarr, and then of course, you know, Kevin Michael Richardson. Like I said, those two have been in everything and anything since the '90s when it came to animation.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen now. But that comes out next year, and that's all I got, folks.
Yep, and that is all I have as well for the admissions ward. All right, guys. So right now, we don't have a pick for the week or any long boxes, because I don't know if you didn't get a chance to get your picks, did you?
I got a couple, but I got a couple.
Did you?
I saved. Yeah. Well, I didn't pick anything up, but like I said, I had a lot of reads from last week that I didn't get to bring out. You know, I used like three or four last week, and I still had three more left.
All right. Well, go ahead and let's drop into the legends then.
Legends of the Long Box.
All right, man. Why don't you go ahead and get your picks here, and I'm going to grab my book of picks.
Okay. Lucifer, issue 16 by Dan Waters, Max Furoma, and Dan McCaig. Interesting issue so far. As I said, the story is leading toward this wild hunt, which Lucifer is trying to get involved in. It involves Odin trying to repair this black horn. If this black horn is repaired, it's basically going to call, I guess, the wild hunt is the end of days. I'm not too quite sure about that. Lucifer meets Mazikeen again. I guess him and Mazikeen have been on the outs. They meet again. Basically, she's bounty hunting again, and they kind of come maybe to some sort of agreement. We don't know. And guess what? Odin is doing all these weird things, but Achilles is searching for Odin. So we have all these different types of gods searching for each other, seeing what's going on, and Lucifer's being typical Lucifer. It's the end of the world. It's the wild hunt. It's the black horn. It's Lucifer issue 16. Keeps the story going along, and so far so good. It looks like we finally have a story now after many, many issues of discombobulation. We had a witch. We had Lucifer's son. I guess that's all been put to rest, and this wild hunt, I guess, is going to be the main thread going forward.
Very good. Yeah, again, it's one of those ones I've been wanting to get into. But I think I'm going to wait for this run to come to its end.
Yeah, it should be ending pretty soon. We're on issue 16 now, so...
Yeah, I think they released the first volume of it. I think that was around 8. So, yeah, I think that this the next one will be coming up soon. Yep. For me, X-Men number 6 came out this week. I, of course, you know, I've been talking about the X-Men, my new love, since my other one has betrayed me. Yeah. But this one's actually an interesting one, because it's there are so many X-Men that are there, and you just haven't had time to spend with individual X-Men to find out where they're at, what are they doing. I think a couple of the when they first started on the new additional comic books are coming out, the monthly ones, we were able to meet up with Scott Summers and the Summer family, because they apparently, you know, they're now living on the moon thanks to the Flower of Krakoa, able to transport them wherever they need to go. But this one is actually, the front cover of it just explains everything. It has a Mystique, you know, running towards something with guns blazing. And this really falls under Mystique's character during this time frame, and as to why she's not on board with everything that Charles and Magneto are doing with the mutants. But Charles is holding something against over her. And again, this is not our normal Charles Xavier. He's a little darker, has a kind of abusing his power a little bit more. Somebody kind of described him as a very Magneto-esque Xavier, that Magneto's kind of calmed down and Charles has kind of brought up his rules to break a little bit closer to Magneto. And he's basically holding something over Mystique, and he's making her do a couple of, you know, jobs. And then once she's done with the jobs, he'll give her what she wants. And really what it boils down to is that she wants her wife back. Her wife has died and she's wanting her back, you know, badly. You know, she misses her wife, and, you know, Charles is, oh, you just have to do this one thing here for us and we'll, you know, I'll bring her back. And it is a very heartbreaking story, especially once, because you don't know through the story what he's holding over her. It's not a major spoiler alert, you know, when I'm telling you guys this, but because you see hints as you go along, and it's one of those ones that she just finally, like, she snaps on him. She's like, no, I want my wife to be back in my life. And at this time, they have the ability to reanimate the dead. As long as what Charles does with the new Cerebro, he's able to copy their mind back to a certain point. Very similar to, like, if anybody's familiar with computers, you can have a time, you know, your computer will save all your settings for a time frame and you can reboot back to that time. That's kind of what he does for mutants, is he's able to reboot back to the time. So say they go away for a mission, he copies their mind just before the mission. But if they die during the mission, they don't know what happened during the mission, because when they're back, they're copied from just before they left. So they don't know if they succeeded or not, but obviously when they're being reborn, probably realize they didn't succeed. But that is because, like I said, they really haven't touched base with any mutants specifically. They've talked about Moira, they've talked about Charles, they've kind of hinted at certain things going on. Definitely Kitty Pride, because she has kind of runs her own book with the Marauders. But this is the first time that they've actually sat down with somebody that's on the mutant council and just, like, said, okay, let's talk about what is that person's driving factor. And I was kind of cool, because, again, they haven't touched anybody else. Even their moneymaker, they haven't touched on Wolverine.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's a major character in this arc.
He's been there. He's helped a lot. He's helped during fights, you know, and done his job as a good soldier. But you don't see much of him. He was kind of like a little comic relief when the first issue of the Marauders for Kitty Pryde, because Kitty can't use this portal that all other mutants in the world can use to go from wherever the Krakoan plant has been placed. You know, there's one on Krakoa, then there's one on the moon, like I was saying, one in America, one on the one in Savage Land. So all mutants have to do is just walk through this portal and they'll boop, there they are. But for some reason, Kitty, the one mutant who can go through anything and go anywhere, can't walk through the gate. So it's become a joke of, you know, what did you do to piss off the island? And we still haven't found out, but she has to do shipments for people. So she she's on the Marauder and, you know, takes things back and forth, and she picks up, you know, beer runs for Logan, basically.
I wonder if that's going to be a major thing going forward of why she can't go through those portals.
It's got to be something because the Krakoa Island is an entity in itself. I mean, if anybody remembers Krakoa years ago, was an infant that the mutants actually had, the X-Men had to protect. So now it's grown and now it's its own island. So something, someplace happened because you almost, when you first get there, you have to ask the island and, hey, is it okay that I'm here and that I live off of you? And she did all of that and the island just was like, no. So there's something somewhere that has stopped her from doing this, but it's great. It's given her a reason to be a kind of an outsider, to have to be this person that is actually doing the, controlling the boat that does shipments. And it's also good because there are certain countries that literally have put up a guards around these Krakoa, portals. And so their mutants can't leave their country. They're like, no, you're a citizen of our country. You're not a citizen of Krakoa because you're a mutant. No, you were born here. You're here, so you can't go there. So what she's kind of done is turned it into an underground railroad in a way, to say, okay, well, that country won't let us, but hey, if you guys can get to this boat or get to this island or get to this beach, get on the boat, I'll transport you over there. So that's kind of, so it's worked out in its way, its own way. But it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Well, definitely, I got to pick that up eventually. Maybe I'll wait till it gets on omnibus form. I'm so far behind.
Yeah, I think it's about ready to. At least the first ones, but you've already read the first ones, though, I think.
Yeah, I already read the first one, so. I guess I go. I got Batman Grave, issues 3 and 4. I had a tag team because I was way behind. Warren Ellis, Brian Hitch, Alex Sinclair. We're continuing to solve the mystery of, I guess, Max Hurton's death, the Alfred-Bruce relationship, which is fantastic in this comic. Batman's detective work is at the peak of it, and the great action panels. And what I mean by great action panels, I mean like 2 or 3 pages of these just, I mean, the art is amazing, but there's these action panels when he's fighting some assassins that are just phenomenal. I couldn't stop looking at it. I actually had to look at them a couple times. Like, ooh, the way they captured the Batman when he's using, like, you know, his fighting style, when he's using the grappling hook. They actually showed a panel where he's driving the Batmobile, which is kind of cool. Just the artwork is just great. And then you get that father-son relationship that, you know, you have Bruce and Alfred have. And it's more at its form here. It's like, hey, man, you know, you keep doing this. Why don't you just get a life of your own? And he's like, nah, this is what I want to do. And it's a little bit more jokey, not as serious, which I kind of like. You see more detail. You see the Batcave, which is really cool in grand detail. All his suits that he has. It shows, like, the rebirth suit. Shows, like, his old school suit with the yellow in the middle with the bat symbol. And everything kind of works. Story, we don't know too much about this Hurton guy yet. You know, there's some kind of chemical involved that killed him or he killed himself. There's some kind of big cover-up he's trying to find out. But the detective work, the action panels, and the artwork really work for me. And that's issues 3 and 4 of Batman Grave.
Is he really Hurton?
No.
Sorry, it's just the name, the last name, Max Hurton. Like Hurton.
That's his name, Hurton. Man, know, Max Hurton. I'm like, Mr. Hurton is hurt, not because he's dead.
Yeah, I know he's dead. Yeah,
he will hurt no more.
Yeah, I haven't. I didn't get a chance to catch up. But again, they're sitting there. I was like, I need to watch. I need to read the Graves one.
They're really good. I mean, like,
I'm on number 2. I got to 2. I just haven't done 3 or 4. I was like you. I was back. I was behind on reading them. And so I just need to.
It was one of those things where I got behind and I was like, do I really want to keep four? It's kind of like Bloodshot. I think I've talked about in one of our long boxes in the past. Yeah. I kind of just dropped it because after like the fourth issue that I got, I was like, this is kind of like a retread, you know, just nothing new.
Well, again, I loved it. It's not that I didn't want to continue with the Graves because I thought they were great. The first two were truly showing, like you were saying, the detective of Batman. You don't see Detective Batman anymore. You see one dealing with, you know, a freaked out version of himself nowadays. And then if you don't see that, you see him working with the Justice League, more major, you know, universal problems. You don't see the detective, the gumshoe Batman working the streets of Gotham, trying to find out why this is happening. We don't get that anymore. We haven't seen that in animated or in live action in forever. And that's why when I first picked up the Grave, I was like, wow, man, this is it. This is him. This is the meat and potatoes Batman. And so that's why I kind of wanted to finish, you know, reading those.
It's pretty good. Like I said, the panels alone.
You've only got one more?
Or no, that's it for me. Oh, yeah, I think it's one more. The run, I think, is one more, and that's it. So
cool.
We're going to find out who killed Max Hurtin.
Be hurting. So for me, I actually picked up a DC book because it was the first one. It's the first one they had, and I was like, okay, this is new. It was Superman Heroes, number one. Did you get a chance to pick that one up or no?
No, sir, I did not.
All right. Cover, amazing cover. I just got to tell you that right off the bat. It's one thing that drew me to it. It's got all the Justice League and, of course, you know, Lois and Jimmy and Perry down at the bottom. And it says, you know, the future of the DC universe begins here. The truth will set him free. And, of course, it's got him, Superman, up in the air, him taking off his glasses. But what's cool is you can see the reflection of his eyes in the glasses. I mean, amazing, beautiful cover. Very odd, though, because you have Superboy back with his old leather jacket from the 90s. And you have what looks like Damian's suit, but he's smiling. And it just kind of throws me off when I see Damian smiling.
Oh, no, but like
that. But basically, it starts off with kind of like you were saying, I think, on the Superman Batman book from last week, kind of dealing with the fact that he's had to give up, you know, who he, you know, his identity. And this is sort of dealing with that in retrospect, you know, talking about Lois, you know, starts off with him and Lois talking about, you know, she's like, yeah, a lot of people there for a while thought I was cheating on my husband with you. And it's, you know, of course this is Bendis and who else is on this one? Bendis, Matt Fraction and Greg Rucka for writers. The cover art, again, I have to, you know, just put a big shout out there. Brian Hitch and Alex Sinclair, beautiful art. It's very weird because there are a lot of artists on this book. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you can see as it goes along, he changes his look and people's style changes a lot. And it throws me off because I'm expecting to see one thing and another thing. But it basically, like, one of the panels is literally all these superheroes talking to him. You know, you've got, you know, Wonder Woman going, hey, you know, you need to, you know, if you need help, you know, this, it's got Batman talking about kind of how he did the last one. He's like, you're still Superman. You still need to do your job. You have Hawkman and, you know, they all are talking, you know, hey, you need to do this and that. You see Plastic Man running around back and forth. Him and Mr. Terrific jump, pop into panels together, making jokes. Swamp Thing's in there as well. His panel has nothing, just Swamp Thing staring at him. Which I was like, yeah, that's what he would do.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's Booster all Gold. Does. Yeah, the next one you have Booster Gold sitting on top of a mountain screaming his name. Clark Kent. Clark Kent. Clark Kent. He finally shows up and he's like, what are you screaming my name for? He goes, I can finally say it. I couldn't say your name before because I'm the only one that knew. And he just grabs the Superman, gives him a big old hug. He's like, thank you. I can now let it go. You know, because Booster Gold knew all this time. Then you have a little conversation, which whoever does a conversation between Bruce and Diana, I thought was great. And this is them out of costume. Bruce is sitting out by his parents' grave like, you know, he does every, you know, weekday at 2:00.
Yeah.
And she comes walking up to him. You know, what are you doing? Why are you? And they go into the mansion, just friends. That, you know, he tells her, go away. I just want to be left alone. And find, you know, she's not going to listen.
Nope.
So she walks in the kitchen and he offers her some tea and they just start having friendly conversation back and forth about what he feels that Clark did. And he's like, it's good that he did it, but it's not at the same time. And she really just boils it down to him saying, well, you know, you're jealous, really. She just calls him out and says, no, you're jealous for what he has. He now can have
a life, a
family. The life and still be that hero that and be do good like you guys always want to do. And he's like, yeah, well, perhaps you're right then. But yeah, it's just fun because he goes around, visits some of his old friends. I think probably one of the best ones is Jimmy. He comes over to Jimmy. He's like, hey man, we cool. I know you're my best friend. You're one of my best friends. And I didn't tell you first. He's like, no, man, we're cool. We're good. We're good. Don't you worry about it. And Superman's like, are you sure? And he's like, No, I'm fine, man. In fact, I knew. I've known for a while. And he's like, how? What do you mean you knew for a while? And he goes, he's like, for a while, I thought there were only two people in the world that would ever call me Jim. And then I realized there's only one.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, no, it was a pretty interesting book. And this, it's, I don't know why they're calling it Heroes. I mean, it looks like it's kind of like a Justice League sort of thing because they have them all in there, but they're like different stories because it had Bendis and it had three other writers, but it also had, like I said, almost six artists. And you can see the series with Bruce and Diane in the mansion was done by somebody else, somebody more about the lines in the face and the more realism, you know, because it was them out of their costumes. You know, you don't have to worry about covering up Bruce's face. It was showing the age kind of in a way of him and just the whole room and the mansion and the Batcave was just very spot on and just harder lines. And then when the scene with him and Jimmy, it's more colorful, more rounded faces. You know, very, it's like they pick these certain artists to do these certain stories,
mm-hmm.
but there's never a break telling you, hey, this is a new story. It's just, hey, Superman's somewhere else now. And so it's not, that's why I'm saying it. I don't know if they're trying to treat it as a bunch of mini stories and just not showing you a title or what, but it's a pretty good read. And I was kind of happy, especially a first one, and it didn't have anything to do with metal.
That's your main takeaway.
And it had very little to do with the thing that Bendis is pissing me off about was the changing of getting rid of his identity. I mean, the core of the overall arc was about him changing his identity, but it wasn't about, you know, him doing it in this massive backlash. It was just him dealing with his own personal, not demons, but his own personal people in his life. Mm. You know, if there's a secret that I have and I haven't told you or I haven't told any of my friends, and now it comes out and I have to sit down and go, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you, man, but I had to, you know, and it's that. He's like, I even got him going back to see one of his teachers.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, hey, professor, you know, he's like, I want you to know, even though I was who I am, I never cheated. And he looks at me and goes, Clark, you were the hardest working average C student I've ever had. Trust me. I know you didn't cheat. He's like, what made me respect you more was that makes me respect you more now is knowing you could have cheated. You could have gotten ahead, but you sat there and struggled and didn't do it. And then, you know, shows clips of him struggling through a test or struggling through something at home, you know, trying to do a project or something. And so it's a kind of a humanizing
book. Yeah, I was just going to say that they've humanized him a lot in this issue.
So. Which they need to do, because, I mean, just like you, that was one of your biggest complaints about him. He's a god. He's too godly sometimes.
Yeah, when you humanize the character, it just makes him more relatable. That's why, you know, I've always liked the Batman stories, because he's more relatable. He's a human dude, and if you can do that to Superman...
And I think that's why my difference is they make Batman not so humanizing, because he always has an answer for everything. And I just, that's why I think that's one thing that sort of turned me off a little bit with him was there were times that I was like, you can't have an answer. You can't be prepared for everything. Even Sherlock Holmes isn't prepared for everything. And it's just sometimes Batman seems like he's too prepared. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Preparation, man.
I completely understand preparation, but yeah, there's a time and, you know, I was like, yeah, you could kind of be, you know, that good, but you're never. You have to show a human side of it, and that's just even the god of the DC world still trips up.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
So that is my last pick,
and that's all for me.
All right. All right then. So, well, I guess, guys, that is the end of this show. A little bit longer than what we thought, but that's okay. We always like to talk about these things. So, guys, keep in mind, less than a month away, or just about a month away, we will be at the KaiserCon, SuperCon number 2. Here in Orlando. So if anybody's interested, please check them out. Just go to Kaiser University or KaiserSuperCon.edu, I believe is the website for it. And you can get your tickets there, or if you just want to pick them up at the door, I can't remember. We haven't gotten a list of how much.
Nah, I don't have them yet.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be in a week. I think they're sending them out, because not only that, they are actually booked up they no more, there's no more spots for people, for vendors. So this thing is big. It's already packed it in right now. They are going to be announcing some of the convention events, some panels that they're going to be doing. And we have the big list is coming out soon. So hopefully you guys will check that out. And come out and see us, guys. We're going to be there starting Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock is it launch time?
Or yeah, it's 4 to 9 on Friday.
4 to 9 on Friday. So come on out, guys, after work. Pop by, see us. You know, there's food right next door. So, you know, grab some food next door, come in and say hi. Or just wait till Saturday and come by and see Kane and I. We're going to be out there all the way up till 4 p.m. So, you know, check us out and say hi. And just check out, see what else they've got out there. There's a couple of great groups coming out there. So a couple of Doctor Who events coming out there, and actually there's another podcast that's going to be there, and this guy is straight Doctor Who, so I think I'm going to send Kane over, and
I have like a little Doctor Who conference with him.
Oh, we may have to ask him to say, hey, you guys, you want a tag team? We'll guest star on yours. You did guest star on ours.
Oh yeah,
and
man.
Kane and this guy can have a Doctor Who geek off, and I can have a night off.
Yeah, well, you know,
I'll just show up and push buttons for you guys.
That's it, man. We'll just nerd out over some, you know, cocktails. That'd be nice. Awesome.
But so yeah, guys, we're definitely going to be there. So make sure you guys do get your tickets and be ready for that. It's going to be a fun weekend for us. And of course, everything, you know, go to heroesasylum.com. You find all of our events, our lists, our other shows, Midnight Movie Show as well. And hopefully I've been kicking around. We did it last week as a bonus show, but I think I'm going to branch out the Legends and have a Legends show, a smaller version of that, you know, maybe 20-minute show, just talk about books, go back, since I am going back into the old archives, maybe talk about some of the stuff there. But we will have some more news on that stuff. And next week, guys, will be our one-year show.
Woo, so baby.
Make
one
sure you guys
year.
Tune in for that. We're going to plan some fun things for that one, all right?
Yeah. I guess my turn. Twitter and Instagram at The Heroes Asylum. Heroes Asylum at Instagram. We haven't done much with Instagram. That's my fault. I apologize. But after KaiserCon, I promise we will be a lot more updated in the Instagram world. Main area of contact is the Facebook page at The Heroes Asylum and the Heroes Asylum page group. Thank you. Thanks for sharing, liking, commenting. We love you very much. And as always, from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum.
See you.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.